Hey everybody, Jason here.
Hey, how's it going? This is Casey here, and today we are going to discuss our garden design and answer a lot of those questions that we get asked all the time, whether it be on our YouTube channel, Instagram, Facebook, wherever. These are the top questions about the designs of our garden.
Yep, and more specifically, what we call first phase of the garden oasis, the first 14, how many beds do we have in that area?
10 beds in that area. It's the first garden space that we ever created. Since then, we've created many more, as you guys can see if you watch the YouTube channel, The Lawrence Garden Farm. But this area is an area that a lot of people ask about because the boxes in this area are taller. And that's something that is really makes it our favorite area, because how much easier it is to garden in it on your back and just everything else.
It looks really cool too.
It looks great, yes. Yep. And it looks more like a container. So we're going to go and answer those questions that a lot of you are asking. And one of the main questions that a lot of people ask is, you know, how did you design your garden space? Why did you choose to do raised beds? So the number one reason why we decided to do raised beds is because we had a lot of clay soil in that area, and it would have taken years to get the soil right.
Right.
For and growing
lots,
fresh food.
We would have had to bring in lots of topsoil to do that. And
it just was like a big work in progress for years. So we decided we were just going to do raised beds. And this was around the time that raised beds really weren't like this big deal. We just did it because it was what was more functional and easier for us. And I already loved container gardens.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Like, ooh, this will be fun. Let's do this,
yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we just pretty much laid the beds out in a way that, you know, would be the most functional in keeping them spaced just right, which we'll go into detail. And we wanted it to also feel clean and tidy so it could be our outdoor living space. So not just a garden space, but a space where we could hang out and play and eat and have fun as a family during summertime.
Yeah. Yeah. And there, you know, when we initially staked, you know, before we just had bare ground, we went out there with some stakes.
It was
and
just
we
long.
Kind of... Yeah, lawn. We just kind of visualized with some little stakes, you know, kind of at the corners. We knew what the size was going to be. And then we could kind of look at the overall layout. And we knew we wanted to have, you know, aisles kind of between. So we basically have, you know, the raised bed set up so that there's, you know, two and two. They're kind of like in pairs of two. And
yeah,
you can
so
walk
we
through.
Yeah, we made sure that so there's two rows of four beds each, and in between there's about a 6 to 8 foot space, and that's so that way we would be able to ride our ranger through to help fill the beds, to help maintain the beds, and help to clean up the beds, so that way we're not having to use a wheelbarrow throughout this area the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
And then in between the actual rows of the beds, there are 3 feet in between, which a lot of people said to us that was too much, but it's not. I'm telling you guys, if you see our beds, whether you're on Instagram or YouTube following us, they get huge because we intermix large varieties in these beds and flowers, and they tower over the side to where it still allows us that little bit of room to sneak through the beds. And sometimes we can't even get through.
Yeah. Sometimes towards the end of end of the summer, you can't get through there even though there's 3 feet.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to have, like, for me, I always loved the, you know, maybe it's like English style garden, but I always love the gardens that have like the pathways through them, and kind of I always liked to envision myself being able to like walk through the pathways, or envision myself as a little boy running through the aisles of the garden.
Could you imagine that? Jason as a little boy.
So that, I know for me, was something that I really liked the idea of, was having all those paths to walk through. And I love that we're able to do that. When things get planted, it's so fun to just kind of walk up and down the aisles and look at everything with the girls.
And it's enough room to walk hand in hand with the kids. And you can only do that for so many more years. I know that. They're not going to want to walk hand in hand with us when they're teenagers. Yep. Like, no, Mom, too cool. But,
exactly.
You know, but they just love it too. And what we love about these raised beds and what a lot of people love about these raised beds in this first phase is the height of them in the size of them. Everyone asks why we chose the height and size. And the reason for that is just because we liked the look of it and we wanted to have beds that take up more space than the actual walking space. So what I mean by that is, you know, instead of creating all these little square gardens and having all these little pathways in between, we did long gardens to cover more ground space with being able to have more garden space. So our main set here of raised beds are 2 foot high raised beds, and they are 3 feet wide and 14 feet long. And what I love about them is the height, of course, like I've already said, but also the width. I never feel like I have to reach into the middle and hurt my knees reaching or my back. It's wide enough to even reach to the other side, but you don't have to reach. You can go around to the other side and do picking or whatever. It's also a perfect width for planting. It's enough room to plant, like for example, vegetables along the edges of the raised bed and still have flowers down the middle. It's perfect for intermixing flowers and vegetables together. Even if you're doing all vegetables, that's fine too, but it just allows so much space for everything. And with 2 foot high beds with all that clay underneath, it's really good to have like that amount of 2 foot high of drainage.
Right.
And 2 foot high of good soil.
Yeah. Yep. So it is something that it's obviously going to be a lot more work than if the beds were only a foot tall, because you're going to have that initial time period after you build them, they're empty and you have to fill it all in with dirt. And it's going to be tough to do, but it's one of those, you know, you do it once and then you really get to enjoy it. I mean, we do replenish the kind of like the top layers of the soil.
And that's another question a lot of people have too, is, you know, what did you fill your beds with? And what we did, we actually did like a lasagna layering. You're actually seeing that a lot now, which is really funny because we did this 6 years ago, and I know that other people are probably doing it, but we never researched that. It's just, I knew that I wanted my soil layered from the bottom all the way up.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, why would I just throw topsoil in the bottom? There's nothing in it.
Right.
You know, like it needs like something going in it. And we've changed things as we've gone on through the years. But when we first started, we did topsoil, compost, worm castings, and potting soil, which was actually the Jolly Gardener professional growing mix. And the only reason why we added that in there is because we intermix a lot of flowers. And flowers tend to like more of a better drainage soil, whereas vegetables can handle, you know, that heavier topsoil garden mixture style of a soil. So that I feel like because we layered it all the way up to the top like that, it did really well.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then remember the next year?
Yeah.
So we go springtime and the bed settled.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, there's like a whole nother foot,
like,
a
no!
foot to go ahead.
We got to bring in more dirt again. I thought I was done doing that because,
that time though, we did do things a little differently. So then that year after all of the settling, and you wouldn't have as much of that with 1 foot high beds. It just goes 2 foot high.
Right.
I just remember Jason's face. I'm like, yeah, Jason, we can just like, you know, throw more soil. And he was just like, yeah, we can.
I thought
we
were done after the one time.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah,
if you're building,
that's right.
A little
I did say that it was only a one time initial thing in the beginning. But yeah, you're right. The second year, you'll have to pad it up a little bit.
So this time, to kind of save us time, and some back work and all mixing ourselves, is we're like, okay, screw this. We're bringing in big truckloads of garden mixture from our local soil company, which is just topsoil and compost mixed already, but that way we didn't have to mix it.
Right. Yep.
So we had them bring it in, and then we put that on the top, and then we also added a little bit more of the potting mixture into there, that Jolly Gardener professional growing mix. We mixed that into there, and we worked that into there, but we did not really touch the bottom soil that was already there. We really just worked with the new soil we added. So I know a lot of you have heard about the no-dig method. Charles Dowding actually is the one that kind of founded this whole way of, you know, letting the earth do its thing just like it does in the forest, and don't disturb the bottom of the soil. That's where a lot of, you know, the good microorganisms are. And we weren't really thinking about that at the time. That's something that we started learning on the way, you know.
Right.
But we really haven't disturbed the bottom, just mainly because it would have been way too much work.
Right. We pretty much only disturb like the top
couple inches.
I'll say
3 inches now.
More than, I mean, because we used to, I mean, I used to stick the
that little tiller that hardly does
but a thing. Still, that gets down. I mean, I had some pressure on there. It probably got down like close to a foot, 8 inches.
Okay, then we shouldn't be going deep. It should only be the top layer.
Yeah, but we would add in that garden compost, adding the potting soil, and then we would mix it all like with the
So
you know,
now
like
all we do, because it only settles a couple inches every year now, just because, you know, soil can come out of the sides, which it doesn't much. Honestly, it really doesn't come out of the sides much where like both the pieces of wood meet.
Yep.
But it settles over time, and just like anything. And so now we just refresh it with fresh compost layer on
the
top.
Yep.
And that's enough for it. And
right.
So, you know, we're also looking at getting one of those garden chippers.
Yes, that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
So Casey found this thing. You know, it's probably kind of like a wood chipper, but grinds things up
smaller.
So, so you can take all of your garden waste, which we have a ton of it. I mean, right now we've got this huge pile sitting off to the side of our yard that we started a compost pile last year. And then as we've been taking things out, we've been just putting it on top of that. But we've got so much stuff there to where if we got that little garden chipper and did that, we would have probably enough compost for all of the raised beds.
Well, we'd still have to create a compost pile. Like, compost isn't just, like, throw it there and it turns into it. Like, it has to be, like, you know, moved.
From that's true.
But, but it can be used as a natural mulch. And that's one of the layers in that no-dig method, which if you guys don't know anything about the no-dig method, it's something we're still learning about. So it's not like, you know, we know it all. But watch Charles Dowding. He's got his own YouTube channel. You can also follow him on Instagram. He talks about it all the time. And it's just really, like, interesting to, like, learn new things. Because growing up as a farmer, it's like all we do is till, work it, till, you know?
That's one thing I've heard Casey say, and maybe it's, like, her motto or her theme that, you know, there's not only one way to do something with gardening. That's the cool thing. There's so many different ways that you can do certain things. You know, now obviously, you know, you got to water, otherwise the plant's going to die.
Yeah.
You know, there's no alternatives there, but there are, you know,
there's other ways
to
do things. And I feel like, you know, as a gardener, in order for us to continue to grow, you have to learn other methods or other people's ways of doing things and find what works best for you. But the actual no dig is more about the soil health rather than, you know, just like a way of gardening. It's like, it's scientifically proven for soil health.
So it's not just the easy way out. No dig. All right. We don't got to do anything this year. Just stick the plants in the ground. And I like that.
No, it's a process too. It's not like 1 year you do no dig and you have this awesome garden. It's like a long term like commitment and process for it to actually have the good soil. But it's kind of cool.
It's good to
such a garden nerd.
Things and, one other thing, real quick, with the layering of the soil. So we did when we built the beds, we actually used 2x12s. So if they're 2 foot tall, we have 2 2x12s, you know, on top of each other. We filled the first 12 inches, you know, up to the top of the first 2x12 with the topsoil, and then we layer it up from there. So just so you know, when you're filling them initially, most of what you're putting in there, you know, that whole bottom half is going to be topsoil, and then you can kind of go up from
there. But you filled up to the foot, but we also right away put the worm castings compost
on top of that foot.
And, and mixed it into that bottom foot of of layer. You know, it wasn't just topsoil, and then we went with the layers.
Right. That's,
you know.
Yep.
I just want to make that clear, because we did make sure that there was good stuff going in on the bottom,
right, as we put in that first half. Okay. Should we talk about how
How they're built. A lot of people ask, you know, how they're built. And we did bring in someone to help us, because we started without knowing how. We've always grown in a ground bed. You know, we didn't know what really like how, I mean, obviously it's easy to build a raised bed, but we wanted to make sure that they lasted. So we actually had our carpenter friend, yep, Boris Norton, come in and help us build these first eight. And he kind of like, you know, showed us some different ways of, you know, building it. But there's also, now that we've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, I would definitely do some things differently. So the way Forrest did it was, and again, we got 14 foot long pieces of green treated wood. Now, I know that green treated might set off some
alarms
or anger with people. And the fact is that, you know, many years ago now, they stopped putting and treating this wood with dangerous chemicals that are going to have any negative impact on the actual fruits or veggies that you're growing or eating out of there. So the treated, green treated lumber that we have and used for our beds, we are not at any risk of you know, contracting bad chemicals into
and
those
fruits or veggies.
And we also
went through our local lumber company, which Jason's been working with for years with building homes, and, you know, researched it, talked with them, researched it. And if you're a person that's like, no, I still won't, that's totally
fine. Right,
there's
alternatives.
You know, but you can also line those beds. But the reason why we chose it also is because after our research is also the fact that we have like how many months of harsh winter here in Wisconsin.
Right.
And it has to last through that. And it's more affordable. So if we were to have chosen a cedar, we would have already had to replace them last year.
Right.
And that would have been super expensive.
Yep. So green treated is, you know, when it comes to lumber, that is the most moisture resistant. It's going to last the longest because of how it's treated. And at some point we will have to replace them because it's still wood and mm-hmm. it'll still, you know, end up rotting and decaying. But if you want to do that less, which I certainly am not looking forward to building the next set because, I mean, a 2x12x14 foot, I don't care what type of material is crazy heavy.
Yeah.
And if you're building all these beds, it's a lot of work. So the less you have to do it, the better. But when he did it, he mitered the side along with the end piece. And what that means is instead of taking the end piece and then taking the side piece and just nailing the side piece to the end piece, you cut both of those pieces at
those
an angle,
corners.
Those corners are at an angle, and then you nail them together. And because of the weight of the soil that's in there and just the way that wood
yeah.
moves, those have started to separate a little bit to where next time I think I would just take the end and abut the side into it. And I would use, they make a lot of different nice looking like black wrought iron corner brackets that you could put on the corners of the raised beds and bolt those in. And that's going to keep those corners from separating. Now, in the middle of the beds, if you're looking at the bed from one end and looking down at the other end, you're looking 14 foot down, a 2x12x14 is gonna move, it's gonna bow, you know, so it's gonna have like a little bit of a belly, it's gonna look like. Now Forrest put in bracing to hold the side pieces together. He put in 2x4s to kind of brace and kind of hold everything together. And then he staked
down
all
the middle.
Four corners.
He did that down the middle twice.
Yes. Yep. So in the middle, where it would be the most vulnerable of the wood moving, he basically tied the two sides together with 2x4 so that they didn't move too much. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle and at all four corners, he drove stakes into the ground and then fastened the raised beds to the stakes. And we did that because in the wintertime here, when the ground freezes, things move up and down. So this way it keeps the beds kind of locked in place. They're not moving around, and it's just, you know, the smart way to keep them anchored.
Yeah, and honestly, we're going on year six and everything still looks good. Nothing looks like it needs to be replaced.
No.
I don't even really notice much bowing. Like there's a couple areas, but nothing where it looks like a big, like, you know, belly.
No. I think we definitely still get at least a few more years out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even more than that. So that's why we went with
yeah.
that type of,
yep.
of
and if you're concerned, do your own research and you can line it as well. But, you know, that was what we chose, and we're actually very happy with it. And anything that you grow on your own is going to be better than anything you can buy in the store. So
right. So next, I guess the stone. So
a lot of people ask,
yeah,
you know, they see the pictures and they're like, is that sand? Is that stone?
Right.
How are you able to walk barefoot on it?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, well, okay.
Right. So that whole area, you know, we've got the 8 big 2-foot tall raised beds in there, but in all of the aisles and surrounding it and through the middle, it's all pea gravel.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
basic pea gravel, and it's rounded, so it's not like the gravel pea gravel, like
right,
sharp. It's more rounded, so it's easy on the feet. The girls run out there on their bare feet all the time. I do too, but I can only last so long. Like, no matter what, even though there aren't sharp edges, it's still stone.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, it feels good for like the first 10, 20 minutes, like kind of like almost like a
massage. Yeah.
But yep, then after that, it starts getting a little sore.
Right.
You know?
One of the big reasons that we chose that was because we were going to be walking from that garden area up the deck and into our house a lot during the summer. And this was one of the stones that really didn't stick to your shoes. A lot of other types of stones, especially after it rains,
yeah,
you're going to get all kinds of little grit and powder and all, yeah, that kind of stuff that sticks to your shoes. And then that tracks into the house, into the mudroom.
Yeah, it's not really dusty either.
Right. It's very clean.
But when we started our raised bed, you know, we still had a budget, and the gravel didn't fit into the budget. So we actually did mulch the first year.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people do mulch in the gardens, but honestly, it was the worst decision we ever made. Not only was it messy, but it attracted so many ticks.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We would just be sitting on the deck in the garden and they would just be
jumping on
us.
Anywhere
in the garden, they'd be jumping on us. We had to do checks. The girls had so many ticks stuck to their head that year.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Like, so after that, we were just like, that's it. We made sure we were able to afford stone the next year.
Yeah, and we kind of didn't have a choice because Mother Nature just blew it all out of there anyways throughout the winter, because the mulch that we went with was this real thin and I would say like flaky like type mulch that was...
Well, it was recommended by a landscaper here.
So, I mean, it all, like, pretty much blew away.
It did blow away because we don't have any cover. And we got, like, 2 big windstorms. And it's like, where'd the mulch go? It was like watching all your money just, like, fly away.
Every time a gust of wind would come, you'd look out the window and just see it all flying into the air. I was like,
there goes George Washington up in the air.
Yep, so we don't have that problem with the stone, which is a good thing.
Yep, and another question too everyone always asks is, you know, how do you keep the stones weed free? So, I mean, in our garden space, obviously, we do have to pick some weeds. It's not like, oh yeah, we don't have any problems with weeds. No, and the girls actually love doing it, so we're utilizing that while we can.
Yep.
But we don't get too many weeds up in this first garden space because, like I said, it was a lot of clay. And a lot of weeds don't grow in a lot of clay. And before we started this space, we actually scraped the ground about 3 to 4 inches. We scraped it of like lawn or anything else.
Really, the grass just like, and topsoil was completely scraped out of there to hard clay.
Yep. And then the beds were built. And then in between all the beds, we put heavy duty landscape weed barrier cloth down. And then we put the stone on top of that.
Yep. And that was great. So that weed barrier has worked really well. And if we do get weeds, there aren't a lot of them, and they're super easy to pull out.
Yeah, and there is one area where we do get a lot of them in the new Garden Oasis Phase 2, and that's in the back garden where it stays a little bit more wet and it's kind of softer yet.
Mm-hmm.
But all we do is we take a rake and we just rake the stones, and it's like it just kind of like pulls them up automatically, and it doesn't take much back work to do that. It's just a little bit of a raking, and it's like the weeds are gone because they're growing in the stones.
Right. And yeah, so the weeds that make it through the weed barrier, their roots have to be,
barrier, though, too, is the one that isn't like professional grade.
Yeah, it's not as good.
It's just a regular weed barrier where I think we should have just done like 2 layers in that area because it is a weedy area. We did phase two because it also had a lot of clay, but the back area was nice soil.
Yeah.
And it just, it holds a lot of weeds back
right
there. So we feel your pain in certain areas, you
yeah
know?
But overall, it really helps keep the maintenance down.
It does. And if you have a lot of problems with weeds, you can use Preen early in the spring season, like right now if you're in Wisconsin. You just throw it down and it kills any weed seeds that are there. Don't put it around anywhere where you're, you know, growing seeds already, because it won't allow anything to germinate. And if you like to keep everything completely organic, Preen now does have an organic Preen, mm-hmm, where it works pretty good. Not as good as the regular one, because we do use it on our north side gardens, but over here we try to keep it more organic.
Sure. I think one of the other cool things with the stone is that it seems to have really limited the amount of mosquitoes that we get in the summer. That's another thing that people constantly ask about. And I think because we have, if you check out Casey's Instagram, which is at Casey Lynn Lawrence, or our YouTube channel, The Lawrence Garden Firm, you can see the amount of garden space that we have. And it's all, we have that pea gravel throughout all of it. So the area that we're spending a lot of time in and gardening it in, we don't have any grass over there whatsoever. It's all stone. And the mosquitoes, when they're, you know, producing eggs and things like that, it's areas that are wet and grassy and areas like that they're producing eggs. So the stone really limits.
It does. Yeah. That. And I think too, the garden space too is up just a little higher and everything drains down and away from the garden. Mm-hmm. I think that helps as well. But another thing that we do is we do plant citronella plants around the fire pit. And I know a lot of people say that they don't work, but you have to actually work at those plants to make them work.
Yeah. So like shake them up, you mean?
Yeah. So when you go out there to sit, you can't just expect them to do their thing. You have to remove 1 to 2 leaves. So it really accentuates the smell of the citronella plant, which is a type of a geranium, just so you know. And they're actually very pretty flowers. And then you also want to shake the plant too. So it's really accentuating that smell in your space. We also have these small little torch candles that can sit on the ground, and we fill them up with the citronella fluid.
Yep.
Torch fluid. And then those we keep around like the feet area, because that's where they get you. They get you at those ankles. It's like little like dogs nipping at your ankles.
Right.
And then we also have the tall torches that we keep going. And then along with the fire pit, we'll throw in some sage in there. And that also helps deter them. So a moving fan helps too. Sometimes we'll bring a fan out there with an extension cord, because they can't fly
right
in it.
Exactly. It's so it's a combination of things.
It's a combination.
But the stones give us a really good base to start with and help quite a bit. And we are in an area where we are pretty much smack dab in the middle of
a
farm field. So it is, there's always a lot of wind and it's breezy. So that does help too. So if you're in an area where you've got a lot of houses around you, or you're fenced
in the woods,
or in the woods, then I definitely recommend some type of like oscillating fan in the area that you're sitting.
Yep.
That's definitely going to help. Like Casey said, if it's windy, they can't fly into it and get you. So it's a combination of things that you need to do, because in the summer, when things are looking good in the gardens, you want to be out there to enjoy it.
Yeah, and even with having the lights out in the garden, you know, it's just like, it's so crazy though too, because we like have all these lights in our garden. We had that since we started the garden.
Yeah.
And now it's like I see it all over the place. And everybody always asking, where'd you get your lights? Where, you know, so it's so cool to see that other people are like raised bed gardening is like this huge thing now, and adding lights now to your garden is this huge thing. So it's really cool to know that like we partly influenced this style.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we, you know, 6 years ago, like Casey said, is when we built those beds, had the lights up immediately for the purpose of enjoying it at night and walking through there.
Like,
and it makes everything look so cool.
It does.
At night.
It does, And at nighttime, it's like that's when you're not working at all either. So you're enjoying it with a nice little beverage.
Right.
You know, so it's just really, really fun. So, but that pretty much concludes our little podcast for today.
Yep. And
I feel like we answered a lot of questions.
I think so.
Constantly, like, right. People constantly ask. So now I can refer this. For
right. Them. And if you pair this up with, you know, if you go on the YouTube channel and check out the garden space, it'll make a lot more sense too, looking at it.
Or but, even on our Instagram at Casey Lynn Lawrence, because I do have overview shots of the garden. So drone shots of the gardening space. So you can really take a good look at that as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your time, and we'll be back next week or maybe before that. We'll see.
We'll see, because we're at home.
We're at home.
In quarantine.
We're in quarantine, so we'll be back soon.
Have a good day.
Bye now.